The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here's our NBA Wednesday doubleheader. We start in Miami at 7:30 Eastern with Giannis and the Bucks starting a four-game road trip against Jimmy Butler in the Heat. Then Steph and the Warriors host CJ McCollum in the Blazers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern. Stephen A., Jalen Wilbon, and Greeny. Meanwhile, right now, we got so much more debate coming to you in the second hour. The Cowboys are all but a lock to make the playoffs, so does Dak Prescott have the most at stake? Paging Southern Steve. Plus, Tom Brady's Bucks and Bill Belichick's Pats have the greatest odds to meet in the Super Bowl. Yes, sir. But whose legacy would a win mean more to? You're not going to want to miss that. But first, in a season filled with ups and downs, the Lakers got above 500 last night with a 117-102 victory over the Celtics. Russell Westbrook dropped 24, LeBron added 30, and Anthony Davis rebounded with a great second half after going 3 of 5 in the first for just 7 points. LeBron pleased with his team's performance. Take a listen.
I just like the way we competed tonight on both sides of the floor. A lot of intensity, a lot of ball movement. You know, guys were attacking the rim, very efficient. I think defensively, you know, besides the first 14 avalanche on Tatum's part, we locked in from that point on. So anytime we're able to get stops like that, we are a very, very good team because one of the best teams in transition. And we have a lot of guys that can attack the paint. We have a lot of guys that can make plays for others. And tonight was as close to 48 minutes. It's one of the best games of the season as far as the way we just played the game.
Well, well, well. Stephen A.,
yeah.
You frequent L.A. quite a bit. We'll be there.
I wish.
We'll be, we're going to be there next week.
Yeah, I will.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, take me.
Oh, my goodness.
Gotcha.
Is the Lakers scrutiny fair?
I think it's fair. Listen, they looked really, really good last night. It helped that Jaylen Brown wasn't playing for Boston. I can tell you that much. If Jaylen Brown was playing alongside Jason Tatum, I think it would have been potentially a different outcome. At the very least, it would have been a closer game. But when you look at the Los Angeles Lakers like right now, we have to take something into account. Not only were they struggling to get above 500, they had a relatively weak schedule. The meat of their schedule in terms of the tougher games are what's to come. That's not how the season started off. This is a team that lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder twice.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City Thunder has a 73-point loss on their resume this season. 73 points. Okay? We know they're not very good. But in the end, that's what's going on here. And then when you look at the Western Conference, let's also take this into account. The Memphis Grizzlies have a better record. Ja Morant has missed a few games. The Los Angeles Clippers have an identical record. There's been no Kawhi Leonard. Dallas Mavericks are only a game and a half or a game or so behind, okay? The Denver Nuggets don't have Jamal Murray or Michael Porter Jr. They're only a game behind. The Minnesota Timberwolves, with Karl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, they're only a game and a half behind. And Portland's got a new coach. You got Damian Lillard out with abdominal injuries. You got C.J. McCollum out with a right collapsed lung. My brother wishing you nothing but the best, speedy recovery.
Yeah.
Prayers
yeah.
out to you, C.J. McCollum. Good brother. President of the NBA Players Association, by the way, as well. We wish him nothing but the best. Class personified. They're only a couple of games behind. What are these people doing in your vicinity when you have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook? And
I know LeBron. Tell the whole story.
And I know LeBron.
LeBron missed 11 games.
I know LeBron missed a few games. Okay, but we got Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook up in there. Okay, Carmelo Anthony, who, by the way, has been playing well. He's their best three-point shooter this season thus far, doing an incredible job coming off the bench. Malik Monk has been making shots, okay? We got to look at it and say, what the hell is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. You got the 29th-ranked defense in the NBA. You can't defend the pick and roll to save your life. That's what's going on with the Los Angeles Lakers, just to name a few other things. And in the end, Charles Barkley, Shaq, all of them, right on point with some of the things that they're saying. Not throwing any shade on what they're saying, but let's not act like Frank Vogel is being victimized here by pointing out what he isn't doing. You don't play. Your job is to have these brothers ready. And the one thing we did not anticipate having to concern ourselves with when it came to Frank Vogel was defense. Now, if they're struggling offensively, but defensively they're one of the top teams in the NBA, nothing to be concerned about, because that LeBron will fix that, and Frank Vogel knows what he's doing defensively. But when you Frank Vogel and you got the 29th ranked defense in the NBA, and considering your reputation, well, what the hell are you doing then? Because that's why you're a head coach, because of what you know how to do defensively. That's like Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks. If the New York Knicks were the 29th ranked defense, we'd be saying, Tom Thibodeau, why the hell do you have the job? Because that's your signature.
Butter, I get it.
That's what you're supposed to do. And that's the same thing that's applicable to Frank Vogel right now. So I think the scrutiny is fair, Swaggle.
The scrutiny is fair. But look, man, I cannot put this on Frank Vogel. And I understand. He's a defensive mind specialist. I talked to Big KP. I listened to you, Stephen A. I watched the game of basketball. Love it. I know a lot of these guys and the points that you're making. But let's not get it misconstrued, man. When this roster was put together, we all talked about how this was going to be player-driven. And we all talked about the guys that were actually on the floor. So, yeah, it's some blame to go to Frank Vogel. But it also is what Molly pointed out with LeBron missing 11 games, continuity. We talked about you and Legs was on here early before the season started, at the beginning of the season, continuity on the offensive end. Defense in basketball is really communication and effort. That's what defense is. Like, we could talk about all of the plans and the scheme and how you play the pick and roll and all of these things. It's effort and communication is usually directly tied to the best defensive units in basketball. And that's not just to the NBA. That's college, that's Pee Wee, that's Nike Tour, that's Adidas, all of that. It's communication and effort. And when I look at the Lakers play defense, they don't have the type of attention to detail that it's going to take. You know what I watched last night, Stephen A? I watched the pick and roll be run, and Williams jump over AD twice and dunk the ball. I saw that twice. Now, AD's 7 foot.
I actually saw it three times. Go ahead.
You saw it three times. AD's 7 foot.
Right.
He's athletic. It's effort, Stephen A. It is effort on that end of the court. So I get what you're saying about Frank Vogel. Nobody's disputing that. You're supposed to be what you are supposed to be. And we know him as a defensive specialist. But we can't. LeBron been in this league a long time. He understands how to play defense on a championship level. AD has been a part of a winning culture now in L.A. He understands how to play defense. We talk about the bulldog tenacity of Russell Westbrook. You got Dwight Howard on the bench, who is a guy that's supposed to be a stopper under the paint. So they deserve the scrutiny, but it's to the players on the floor.
Well,
just like you would talk about in football or any other sport. These two dudes have too much experience, regardless of who their coach is, to be 29th on defense in the NBA.
I agree with that, and I'm not absolving the players. I'm saying at the end of the day, let's just get down to brass tacks. Somebody's head is going to roll.
I got you on that.
Because let me tell you something. LeBron turns 37 December 30th, all right? Russell Westbrook is already 32, 33 years of age. Anthony Davis is 28. Yeah. Melo is 37.
Oldest team in the league.
There's a window here. They're the oldest team in the league. Let me tell you something, man. You can't stand pat. You can't be patient if you're the Los Angeles Lakers. You know why else you can't do that? Because of the teams that's waiting, that's lying in wait. Golden State ain't getting worse. Utah ain't getting worse. The Clippers are not getting worse. Phoenix Suns are not getting worse. CP3 is surrounded by young bodies. Devin Booker's young. DeAndre Ayton is young. Cal Bridges is young. Jay Crowder might be a little bit older, but can still ball, and he's physical and experienced, and they're exceptionally well coached.
So are you reserving the fact that they're old and they can't defend?
No. What I'm saying to you is this. Quinn Snyder can coach.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr can coach. Ty Lue can coach.
Monty Williams can coach.
So if you are the Lakers, you're going to look at that in comparison to what you're getting.
I'm not saying the players got to be absolved because they shouldn't be. But they could be complimentary about Vogel all they want to. Somebody's going to be held accountable.
S.A., who's responsible? I get you. We already talked about low man on the totem pole with Frank Vogel. But ultimately, who's responsible for the Lakers playing better defense? Give me the one individual.
Anthony Davis. Yes. Yes. But I will tell you this. Let me tell you what this is. You want me to tell you why I throw LeBron James up in there? I don't think it's – listen, a lot of people question Russell Westbrook, was it the right fit, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Russell Westbrook, future Hall of Famer, we know it, and we're not trying to impugn his character or anything like that because he's gotten a bad rap. People talk selfish and all this. Mm-hmm. No, he's not that guy. He's a good dude. He's hardcore, but he's a good dude, okay? And he ain't selfish. Here's the thing. He's been unselfish with the Lakers this year, by the way. Needs to be given credit for that. But is it the right fit or not? Let me tell you this. LeBron made that happen. That don't happen without LeBron. Westbrook wanted to come to L.A., but it's LeBron that went to them like, let's make this happen. KAD ultimately said, all right, I'm cool with it, but this is LeBron's team now.
Right.
So, again, you can't – again, players, they have to hold the camera, but they ain't going to be let go because they ain't the low dude on the totem pole.
No doubt. I got you on that. But improvement is absolutely up to them.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Stephen A's favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys, have lost two of their last three games and now hold a two-game lead over the Washington football team, who they'll take on Sunday at FedEx Field. The once high-powered offense not flying so high. Jerry Jones may know the reason, as he told 105.3 The Fan. Take a listen.
The thing that you're seeing is sometimes the pass that looks errant is because the receiver, for instance, ran the route, cut it off 2 yards short. Two more yards before he makes his cut can make all the difference in the world as far as his ability to separate. And so if you're not really crisp on the way the play was designed relative to how many yards you go, the cut, passing game can look really off. That's one of the answers. Better routes.
Get them, Big Jerry. They need better routes. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense were electric before their bye week in week 7, starting the season 5-1, but Dallas is 2-3 in its last 5 games. Add in the fact that Dak's QBR is 20 points lower from his first 6 starts of the season, with a sharp drop off with his accuracy and yards per attempt. Hello, Southern Steve.
Howdy.
Let me ask you this. Marcus, you look so defeated.
I mean, that big fella right there looks mighty depressed. I mean, I got to tell you, maybe I need to lighten up just a touch in light of how he's looking. I want to put a smile on his face. Don't know if I'll be able to do it, but I sure would like to try.
All right. Let me get to the question. Stephen A., is Dak the quarterback with the most at stake?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me tell you something, Molly Q. Let me tell you something right now. Marcus Spears Swaggoo, say if that's what you would prefer to be called for this particular segment, I would tell you something right now. As we purview the landscape of the Dallas Cowboys right now, we listen to Jerry Jones be so addicted to showing his knowledge and his expertise when it comes to the sport of football. That's really what that's about.
He
answering those questions the way that he does because my Libra buddy right there, my Libra brother, he just got one addiction, and that addiction ain't necessarily just to the spotlight or that camera. It's to the fact that he wants everybody to know how much he knows about that sport of football.
He was a national championship at the University of Arkansas.
That's right. In the 1940s, I understand. And the bottom line is this, okay? I understand. He's got that going on, and he's a three-time Super Bowl champion as an owner in Big D. I get it. But let me tell you why the pressure's on Dak Prescott right now. It's because of that man, Jerry Jones. It's because of all those. Oh. It's because of all the bloviating about those. All those headlines, those back pages, everything talking about Dallas Cowboys. They've arrived. Dallas Cowboys, the best team in football. Dallas Cowboys with the high-powered offense. Look at the money that Jerry Jones spent. Kane dug deep into those pockets. Probably got some of his oil buddies to help him out. That's how deep he went into those pockets, okay? And he paid Ezekiel Elliott, even though he was in Cabo. He brought in Tony Pollard, and we know he could play. You got a head coach in the making and Kellen Moore that's supposed to be some star. He got an old coach off the scrap heap, brought him on board. You got Michael Gallup that you paid. You got Amari Cooper that you gave $100 million to. You got CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he's doing some things. Even got Schultz and Wilson and guys like that. Everywhere you turn is weapons everywhere, just sprinkled all over Big D and all the way into Arlington and Fort Worth and beyond. I mean, it's just sprinkled all over the place. All these assets, all these valuable assets. And on top of all of that, what he did was he turned around and said, I'm going to close the deal by making sure I pay this boy right here, Dak Prescott, because that's a fine young man that conducts himself properly, that is the quintessential leader who can actually ball, is a top five quarterback in the National Football League. He's got an arm, he's got wheels, he's got guts and moxie. He's a born leader. I'm going to have him at this helm. And then you get to the playoffs and you fold like a cheap tent. That ain't going to cut it. That ain't going to cut it one bit. I would never say Dak Prescott if he was playing for somebody else. But because it's the Cowboys, and the expectations they thrust upon themselves and that disgusting, nauseating fan base that no matter what's going on with them, they throw on the Cowboys. That's why it's Dak Prescott. Because if anybody else loses, we'll lament it for about a week if the Dallas Cowboys fall. I assure you, it'll be a hell of a lot longer than that. I promise you that. The floor is yours,
Swaggoo. Is that a threat or is that a promise?
That's a both.
Yeah.
Both.
I can't stand you, man. And I'm not about to let you do this because I got to stand on some ground, all right? And I get it. I understand what's at stake. Listen, man, I want to be defeated, but I'm not because I'm going to make some points on my argument. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
The quarterback with the most at stake is Aaron Rodgers. That's the QB with the most at stake. I think Aaron Rodgers won his Super Bowl in his sixth or seventh year in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers has been to three NFC championships since then and has not reached the Super Bowl. And we talk about Aaron Rodgers in the conversation of being the GOAT and the greatest of all time, but we don't attribute the championship part to it like we've attributed to LeBron James or anybody else, that they need championships on their resume to be considered in that conversation. So Aaron Rodgers this offseason said, I'm not showing up to the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to hold them hostage because they're not doing the things I want them to do. When I come back, I'm going to make you go out and get Randall Cobb because we need him to win a championship. I'm going to say I'm immunized instead of telling people that I'm not vaccinated, even though the NFL knew. He got a toe issue. They are winning. They having success right now. They're picked by a lot of people to be the best team in the NFC. Not me. I think that's Tampa right now. And Aaron Rodgers is in what, Stephen A., correct me if I'm wrong, 16th season? His 16th season in the NFL?
I believe so. Let me double check. Keep going. But let me double check.
He just turned 38. That's all I know.
Okay. So we – growing up in the Baptist church back in Louisiana, when the Reverend was getting ready to preach, when the Reverend was getting ready to preach, and sometimes I like that you tie that pastor phrase to me, because my grandmother, when I was born, told my mama I was going to preach and be a pastor. Shout out to my mama, Irma Spears, been telling me that forever. But what the pastor says in church all the time before he about to preach, Stephen A., and his relative to Aaron Rodgers, it's getting late in the midnight hour. And all things are starting to come to the forefront for Aaron Rodgers. Now, he got two options. He either going to be in Green Bay and win a championship, or he's going to leave. And we're all going to say Aaron Rodgers left because he couldn't win a championship in Green Bay. And that'll be the talk until he retires. He doesn't get another championship. Yeah. Guess what we're going to say? Aaron Rodgers' talent was wasted over his NFL career.
That's what we're going to say. We're not going to say he couldn't win a title in Green Bay. We might say he couldn't win a title, but we ain't going to say he couldn't win a title in Green Bay. We're going to say that he couldn't stand Gutekunst, okay? That's what we're going to say. That's number one. That's what we're going to say.
He's
moving on, and his career will continue. Not to say that Dak Prescott's won't, but the reality of the situation, you do understand. What we're asking, because I don't think I put this in this proper perspective. I apologize, Swaggo. Okay. I apologize. I don't think I put it in this proper perspective. I'm going to enlighten you. It's not like Dak Prescott's going to be at fault. What we're saying is that black cat running around that franchise, that curse, he couldn't lift. See, it's not his fault.
Not today.
He is subjected to overwhelming, insurmountable. Let me finish.
But
Molly, hold on. Molly Q, I warned you last week. You were sick to your stomach because I warned you last week when I was joking about the Cowboys. And I said, don't they always find something? How many things have happened to the Cowboys on the field?
I'm not about to let you do that. This is what happens. You start talking that dribble, and Keyshawn start going crazy, and Michael Irvin start throwing and going crazy. Stephen A., I want you to answer this question honestly and get out of your feelings and emotion.
Yeah.
Who has more at stake to win a championship out of Dak Prescott and Aaron Rodgers?
Who has more at stake?
Who is Dak, the quarterback with the most at stake this season to win a championship?
No, you're right. It's Aaron Rodgers because his legacy.
You can say Aaron Rodgers. I feel you on that.
I need you to acknowledge the truth because you want to go into all of this.
Excuse me. I feel you on that, period. End of. There's no rebuttal. We're done. I don't need your glasses, Southern Steve. Steve Hibbern's waiting. You got a beautiful dress on.
Hold on.
And I need some of her energy.
Oh, excuse me. So she took off her slippers. Real slick of her. That's good. But here's the deal, y'all. I understand it appears that more pressure is on Aaron Rodgers.
I specifically
said, because Dak Prescott is the quarterback of America's team, and they continuously find different things to get in their way, it's on him.
Okay.
Them glasses it's nice, by the way, but you are absolutely wrong.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bill, I know you're busy working, but have you had a chance to catch any of the Man in the Arena yet?
I haven't. But I'm sure Tom did a great job with it, like he always does. You know, he was such a centerpiece in obviously all those games, and can't wait to see it.
He's very complimentary of you throughout.
Well, nobody deserves more credit for our success here than Tom does. And he's a great player, great person, great leader, a tremendous opportunity for me to coach, probably the greatest player in NFL history. And on defense with Taylor, the greatest offensive player with Tom and the greatest defensive player with Taylor. I certainly learned a lot from Tom, and he helped me develop as a coach, and as did Taylor. Very thankful for my opportunity to over 30 years coaching those two guys.
Look who's here. Kimberly Martin in the building in a fantastic dress. And I'm going to start with you, Kimberly. So according to our analytics, I love this, the most likely Super Bowl matchup would be the Patriots and the Bucks. Obviously, Brady's already won one without Bill.
Yes.
So would another Super Bowl mean more to Bill's legacy or Brady's?
Oh, 100% Bill's legacy. Because Brady... Off the bat, right?
Just agreeing with me. It's just so special to watch.
Yeah,
so
because it's easy. It's an easy question. It's an easy question to answer because Brady's already won his without Bill. He's already said, oh, I don't need Bill. I could go down to Tampa. I could take my talents down by Southie. I could win with a whole new team, a new squad. Belichick has yet to prove that. And you know me. How long have we known each other? Not decades. I'm not that old. But we've known each other for a long time. You know I'm a writer at heart. You know that I love a good story and a good storyline. And there is no better story than these two teams meeting in the Super Bowl and us finally being able to put that chapter of Bill Brady, who's really the best, to rest. And I think Belichick right now with Mac Jones, with a rookie quarterback, being in this position to actually make the Super Bowl, and you hear Belichick talking sweet to Tom, like, oh, Tom's so great. Yeah. I owe so much to Tom. Tom, man, that
reverse
boy.
Psychology.
Now, that's like you get divorced and then want to talk about your ex-wife. Like, oh, shoot, Diane was so great. Diane was so sweet. Yeah. Why didn't you tell Diane that when she was there? Because you guys could have probably had some more years together.
I can relate.
But that's Belichick. He is that guy. And he, as he's praising Tom, you know he would love to see Tom in the Super Bowl and kick his butt.
Yeah. The only thing I would say before Swaggoo moves on is this. You said South Beach for a second. Don't ever confuse Tampa.
Yes.
South Beach.
A little different. Okay. A little different.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Brian Flores and Tua got a little different thing going on down there.
All right. Go ahead, Swag.
I base my argument strictly on both of these teams meeting in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I think the ring means more for Brady because as a player and the pupil, right, this is like Danielson and Mr. Miyagi. All right. It means more to Danielson to – yeah, Karate Kid.
I mean, everybody don't know that you talk about the Karate Kid. Yes. You gotta tell them.
Well, if they don't know, they living under a damn rock. All right, I shouldn't have to explain.
Everybody don't know Karate Kid.
It's a phenomenon. It's a cultural phenomenon in every culture. Anyway, Karate Kid then.
All right.
All right? I've the pupil beating the master always, it's more. It means more. So for Tom Brady to have an opportunity in the Super Bowl to play against Bill Belichick, who a lot of people think are responsible for Tom Brady's rings, more so than Tom Brady being responsible for the rings in New England based on what he's done from a personnel standpoint, how good defenses were. He won 11 games with Matt Castle. Bill Belichick can do it. He can win. We all know that. But if you, for one second, don't think that the reason Tom Brady left Bill Belichick was to prove that he could do it. And I understand what y'all saying about already winning a Super Bowl. But damn it, if we get a Super Bowl between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, it will mean more at the end of the day if Tom Brady wins that game. It will mean more to us. It'll mean more to Tom Brady. It'll mean more to everybody that's been a part of this argument of who's responsible for success in New England than anything else we could possibly think of. Now, here I'll say this. Y'all know I want the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl. I want them to go to the Super Bowl every year. And every year I got to listen to, don't ask me why, I'm a damn fan. Don't you want the New York Knicks to play in the finals, even though we know they ain't getting there? Everybody who's a fan of their team wants to see their team go to the Super Bowl.
Like that? Would you raise your voice and stick?
Because you said why, and I just
you ain't got to come at me like that.
You said why, and last week I sat on this show with you crying about the New York Knicks. I did that. That was last week. So that's I answered your question. The bottom line is this: there is nothing more that I want to see than Tom Brady and Bill Belichick
square
off in the Super Bowl. There is nothing more, and I want the Dallas. Hear me clearly. The Dallas Cowboys making it to the Super Bowl would be great for me emotionally, but it also will be great for me financially, okay? It will be a great time down there in on the West Coast signing autographs and making appearances as a former cop. Don't roll your eyes. It's just the truth. Everybody can't live in that era.
Get
in
yours,
that, in
Marcus.
That same situation. But the bottom line is, if I could pray for anything, it would be the opportunity for us to answer a GOAT question legitimately. Stephen A., you and I argue about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. We can argue about the whoever we think the two greatest baseball players are. We can talk about Wayne Gretzky and somebody else in hockey. We can have all of the, that'll never happen. It'll never happen. We'll never see it. Football has the opportunity to give us the answer to a question we've been asking for 10 years. Who's more responsible? Who's the guy? Is it Belichick's system? Is it Tom Brady's ability to play? And if Tom Brady went to a Super Bowl with a coach that's known to be the greatest defensive mind and the greatest head coach ever and beat him in the Super Bowl, it'll mean more to Tom Brady.
First of all, you're wrong. And
okay.
I'm gonna give you a couple of reasons why.
Okay.
Hypothetically speaking, what if the Super Bowl for the Patriots in Tampa, assuming Tom Brady would have met Bill Belichick, resembled the Super Bowl of the Patriots and the Los Angeles Rams? We wouldn't be saying that. You know why we wouldn't be saying that? Because the Patriots have a rookie quarterback. See, the point that I'm trying to make to you is Kimberly is absolutely right, echoing what I said in the first hour.
You're talking about the same Patriots team that just ran it 46 times and threw three passes?
Yes.
You're talking about, okay.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I'm talking about the same team. What I'm saying is for the purposes of Brady versus Belichick, yeah, Brady has to go up against that defense. But a rookie up against Tampa's defense. So Bill Belichick, in his brilliance, could have a masterful game plan and completely neutralize Tom Brady and Tampa's offense and still lose the damn game because you got a rookie quarterback going up against them brother Super Bowl for back-to-back years if it came down to that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that would be the caveat that people would throw into the mix to sort of dilute to some degree not the greatness of Tom Brady, because there's nothing to dilute that, nothing to diminish his legacy, his greatness, and all of that other stuff. But I'm talking about the matchup of them going up against one another. If Bill Belichick was to win a Super Bowl and beat Tom Brady to do it with a rookie quarterback, that would usurp anything that Tom Brady did against Bill Belichick.
Especially the fact that Belichick moved on from Brady. He moved on from Brady and said, you know what, I think we need to go in a different direction. Like, we've run its course here.
So
for him
Molly
to come
Q.
back, Marcus,
these
for
are
him
great,
to come back
references.
And
yep.
win a Super Bowl with somebody not named Brady against Tom Brady.
Molly Q, let me get this straight.
Yeah.
Let me get this straight, because I don't want to act like both arguments don't have great points.
Yeah.
So the guy that kicks you out of the house and then comes back and asks you for a place to stay, and it means more to the guy that kicked you out of the house when you say no?
I don't even understand that.
All I know,
Bill Belichick.
I'm just here so I don't get
Kimberly
fined.
Kimberly Martin just said Bill Belichick did not want Tom Brady anymore. And Tom Brady would absolutely have an opportunity to go back to the house he was kicked out of and beat the guy. And y'all telling me it means more than the guy that kicked the other guy out?
That is an interesting angle. You're right, because he pushed him out. So that's an interesting wrinkle. You're kind of swaying me right where with that, but we're out of time.
I can't relate because I've never been kicked out.
see what we do on
I gotta
show.
Go. I gotta go. We're talking greatest.
I don't even know how to.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits, like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
NBA. Yesterday, Woj reported that Blazers star Damian Lillard wants a two-year, $107 million extension in July, and he and his agent need the next general manager to sell ownership on the idea. As much as anything, this cuts to the core of the Blazers' search process. His desire for an extension into his advanced NBA years has turned into a battle for the franchise's future. Stephen A., what does this all mean for Dame time?
It means that Damian Lillard needs to get the hell up out of Portland. and Portland needs to facilitate that happening. Let me be very, very clear. I spoke to Damian Lillard a couple of days ago. He's all in. He wants Chauncey Billups to succeed. He's not about half-stepping. I believe him. Damian Lillard is one of the most honest guys I've ever known and I've ever met, and I believe what he says. Does he want his money? We never talked about that. But what athlete doesn't want the money? Of course he'll probably want the money, but that doesn't mean he's lobbying for it. He's got 4 years to go, an option on one of those years. We know that. We know that he's being paid over $40 million in what he brings to the table, but he wants to win. And in my opinion, I have argued with him about this periodically over the years because of his undying devotion to the city of Portland and that organization. You ain't winning staying in Portland. I know for a fact there's only one place that he'd want to go if he were not in Portland, and that's to the New York Knicks. Not Brooklyn, New York, the Garden. He believes that that's someplace he'd be able to recruit if he was ever there, but again, he's all in on Portland. Here's what Damian Lillard has to understand. They haven't won with you. It's not your fault, considering how lethal this brother is, even though this year he's struggling because of that abdominal injury that's got him out that he's been dealing with since 2017, by the way. But in the end, you're not winning in Portland. Him and C.J. McCollum are two big-time players, but you got to move one of them and get the ancillary parts available to build with the other. That's what he has to understand. Damian Lillard is having a very difficult time getting to that point because he's so loyal to the organization and the city. But the Portland Trailblazers, as I told him, is perfectly within their right if they are indeed thinking about what they're going to do, because I'm told they are, and Woj is on point in terms of what they're thinking.
Yeah.
They're perfectly within their right to do it because Neil O'Shea is no longer there. You got a new organization, and you haven't been winning under the present circumstances.
And we'd love to see Dame Time compete for a chip.
He's too big time to be in that market. Somebody got to say it. I'm going to say it.
Speaking of big time, let's get to a quick take here. We hit on this a little bit earlier based on Steve Kerr's comments. Stephen A., who's the more accurate comparison to MJ? Is it Steph or LeBron?
I think it's Steph. I think it's because of his size. I think it's the fact that you're a little kid on the playground. You look at him and think you can be like him. Mm-hmm. I think he's the greatest shooter in NBA history. He's a career 90% shooter from the free throw line. He shot better than 40% from three every single year of his career. He's unquestionable range. We know how big time LeBron is and his overall impact. But when you look at Steph Curry and you think about MJ and you think about the assassin that MJ was and you think about how Steph can pull up from half court and how he forces defenses to come out and defend him all the way at half court, how it so severely compromises what they want to do as a defense. And you combine that with the fact that in this modern era, the way that he is playing, you got little kids going to the basketball court aspiring to be him. I'm sorry, Steph Curry would be the answer to that question in my mind.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
All of us here at ESPN would like to take a few moments to thank all of you who have supported cancer research through donations to the V Foundation. Cancer has touched so many lives and legacies, including beloved members of our ESPN family, like the late Jim Valvano and my friend and colleague, Stuart Scott. On July 16th at the 2014 ESPY Awards, Stuart received the Jimmy V Award for perseverance as he courageously fought his own battle with cancer. Here's a portion of his powerful speech from that very emotional night.
I got thousands of people on Twitter and on the streets who encouraged me. I got these amazingly wonderful people at ESPN. I got corporate executives, my bosses, this is true, who will text message me And they'll say, hey, heard you had chemotherapy today. You want me to stop by on the way home from work and pick you up something to eat and bring it to you? Seriously? Who does that? Whose boss does that? My bosses do that. But even with all that, the fight is still much more difficult than I even realized. What you didn't see in the piece is what's gone on probably the last 10 days. I just got out of the hospital this past Friday. 7-day stay. Man, I crashed. I had liver complications, I had kidney failure. I had 4 surgeries in a span of 7 days. I had tubes and wires running in and out of every part of my body. And guys, when I say every part of my body, every part of my body. As of Sunday, I didn't even know if I'd make it here. I couldn't fight. But doctors and nurses could. The people that I love, my friends and family, they could fight. My girlfriend, who slept on a very uncomfortable hospital cot by my side every night, she could fight. The people that I love did last week what they always do. They visited, they talked to me, they listened to me, they sat silent sometimes, they loved me. And that's another one of the components of the V Foundation. This whole fight, this journey thing is not a solo venture. This is something that requires support. I called my big sister Susan a few days ago. Why? I needed to cry. It was that simple. And I know that I can call her, I can call my other sister Cynthia, my brother Stephen, my mom and dad, and I can just cry. And those things are very important. I have one more necessity. Yeah, it's really two. Two very vibrant, intelligent, beautiful young ladies. The best thing I have ever done, the best thing I will ever do, is be a dad to Taylor and Sydney. It's true. I can't ever give up because I can't leave my daughters. Yes, sometimes I embarrass them. Sometimes they think I'm a tyrant. That's a direct quote. There is an adjective that describes tyrant too, but I'm not gonna go there. But Taylor and Sydney, I love you guys more than I will ever be able to express. You two are my heartbeat. I am standing on this stage here tonight because of you. My oldest daughter, Taylor, I wanted her to be here, but college sophomore, summer school, second semester, starting this week. Baby girl, I love you, but you go do you. You go do that. My littlest angel is here, my 14-year-old. Sydney, come up here and give Dad a hug because I need one. I want to say thank you, ESPN. Thank you, ESPYs. Thank all of you. Have a great rest of your night and have a great rest of your life.
This is my 6th time hearing that, and it still tears me up like the first time. The V Foundation established a Stuart Scott Memorial Fund 7 years ago, helping to carry on Stuart's passionate support for cancer research. Since then, the fund has rewarded nearly $15 million to support minority scientists and to better understand the cancer disparities experienced by patients from minority, ethnic, or racial populations. ESPN and the V Foundation are proud to support this fund in Stuart's honor. And you can support it as well by visiting v.org/Stuart. We miss you and love you, Stu. Stephen A.
Miss my brother. ESPN wouldn't be what it is today if it were not for Stuart Scott, who is a friend and brother to so many of us, myself included. I was in attendance for that speech. I went there that day just because I knew he was showing up to give that speech. He's just one of the most phenomenal talents that's ever graced this business, and even better as a person. And we miss him every day.
Absolutely. To anyone hurting, never, ever, ever give up.